Welcome back to the Christian Life Podcast, where we have good conversations for practical Christian living. Today we are on episode 33. We are your hosts, Michael Brazier and Art Nurnberg. And I am, excited about today's podcast. But before we jump in, I want to give a quick kind of plug that if you have questions, which we would love for you send us questions. Last week we had a question and it was really good. And I always get excited, like, reading the questions. So if you have a question or a topic that you want us to talk about, you can go to eibibleschool.org/Christian Life Podcast. And there I have a little slot there for you, and you fill out the information, send the question, and hopefully we will talk about it on the podcast. So definitely do that. And then the other thing that I wanted to mention today before we jump into the podcast is EI, which is obviously like our main sponsor of the podcast, like it's on their platform, but they have opened winter registration for the spring semester. So if you are interested in coming to school at EI, which obviously we're big fans of EI, because you've spent 6 years here, something like that. And I came here for all three of my years getting my bachelor's degree. Anyways, but if you are interested in coming to EI or know somebody, they can sign up until December 15th. They can apply and Stephen will take great care of you. He's the admissions director and or admissions guy. Anyways, so it we'd love to see you here. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that we were talking about beforehand was just that we want to be more relatable, more relaxed in this podcast. And so we have our coffee now. We have our side tables with our coffee. And our hope is that this is a conversation. And today we're going to go about it maybe a little bit differently than we have in the past. And that's like talk about a quote and just, talk about what it means to us, how it relates to our lives and how it relates to your life as a listener. And, so this is the quote because it's about circumstances and everybody has such drastically different circumstances in their life and they have different jobs and just the way that their families function is different. And it can cause a lot of anxiety about those circumstances. Right. And I was thinking about the verse, in Matthew, when the Lord Jesus was talking about the anxiety surrounding food and, clothing and housing, and just that, don't be anxious about all of these circumstances that you're facing. Like tomorrow will take care of itself. And, that the lilies of the field are clothed. And like we grew flowers for 4 years, as a flower farm. And I just think of those flowers and like, they're beautiful, but they go away so quickly. Yes. Mm-hmm. And when, Jesus was just talking about that, he's like, they're beautiful. And yet you use that hay for the fire and to burn. Mm-hmm. But our circumstances, we don't have to have anxiety about them. And so we have this quote about circumstances and I thought it was good. It's from Joseph Carroll and it says, this is God's method, talking about anxiety and in our circumstances, that you might experience the crucible of circumstances so that in the crucible, the grace of God might be experienced, 2, the life of Christ by the Spirit might be appropriated, and 3, there might be victory by the manifestation of Jesus Christ in the life of the individual. And so, first of all, you knew Mr. Carroll. I never knew Mr. Carroll. And I don't know when this was from. I don't know if you know off the top of your head.
I don't know
where this quote was from.
I don't know
where it comes from. But I found it just a helpful quote to think about our circumstances and how we can relate to them and how they're not just a moment and we have to get through it, but it's a moment for the Lord to meet us in it.
Right.
And so, do you want to just kind of talk about like crucible, that whole picture and in relation to the Christian life?
Yeah. And this could have come at any time in the 25 years that I knew Mr. Carroll, cause he was real consistent on this one. The purpose of God is to bring us to himself. Hmm. That's what eternal life is, to know him, to really know him. not just to know the facts about them from the Word of God, but to translate those facts, the scriptures, into daily living. Because it's a way of life. It's not just a theology. It's a way of life. And so he was very strong on the fact that God's always working in our lives to draw us towards himself, to make it so that we actually know the living God. And one of the greatest ways he can do that, you trace the scriptures, you just look at the lives of the people in the Bible, is putting them in tough places. Because in the tough place, I'm forced away from myself and away from my own resources, my own abilities, and I am forced to think about God and to really take hold of the things that God says and make them real in my life. So he pushed that a great deal it was his belief, and I believe he's right, that without tough circumstance, a person never really gets to know. Because we really love our own confidence. we have confidence in ourselves. It's the way we've had to live. Yeah. The only way we get past that is to be forced out of it. And so he kind of pushes us out.
And I think, like, we in the Western world, we have both our confidence in ourselves, but then we also have our comfortability, and we love both of those. Yeah. Like, and it's like this, the comfort of our age is extensive, and yet the confidence, and like you think of, like, I feel like we in this age can be really confident in our abilities,
right?
And you'll overcome it. You'll get through it. You can do it because we believe in you. And like the messaging from big companies is like, just do it. Like, you can do it. And so there's a lot of push for confidence in self. And yet the whole point of Christianity and the message of Jesus is that you're not enough, and you have to come to him. Yeah. And it goes not just against, like, our age, but also the spirit that is within each and every one of us, which is like, I am enough.
Right.
And the call of Christ is that you're not enough. And so we have these circumstances, and they're in this quote, Mr. Carroll said they are the crucible of circumstances. And I like that picture, because like a crucible's like that little cup that burns off the impurities of the metal. And that is the goal, that in life, in our circumstances, we would become more, not just, well, we'd become more like Jesus Christ, but we would trust him more, and we'd grow in our trust of him. So the first point that he said is that in these circumstances, the grace of God might be experienced.
Right. And this, I think sometimes we fail to realize the heavy weight that Paul in his teaching puts on the value of bad circumstances, difficulties. He treats it as if it is one of the necessary parts of life. If we suffer with him, we'll also reign with him. But that is putting a thing in a way that he implies that you have to. You have to suffer. That when, because we've been justified, we have peace with God, and we rejoice in that. But we rejoice also in our tribulations, because we know that it's in those tribulations that patience is worked out. And he says that through that tribulation, eventually, as you work your way through it, we'll experience the love of God poured out in our hearts. He always puts the emphasis, He just doesn't look at difficulties as being a problem. They're a necessary part of life and something to rejoice in, which is very difficult to practically come to.
Yeah.
But it works patience. Tribulation works that patience to where I begin to see it. So it does move towards the glory of God being seen there. It, for us, because it's when we are put in the place where, okay, I'm pressed beyond measure a little bit, that we find out that, lo and behold, God is actually there. Mm-hmm. And he does step in, and he does move. And then our faith begins to, in practice, move from theory to reality. Mm-hmm. And my point of view, that's what it means to really know God. Okay, you know him when you come to him, but he wants, okay, at the very end, Paul could say that about his life. I was in this trial. Nobody was there, but the Lord stood with me. He knew the Lord was with him. He had experienced that in enough different circumstances, but now he was confident in that.
And there is something about like a seasoned person of faith who has seen the Lord work over their life.
Right.
And it's a habit that is learned. It's not right. just like, you follow Jesus now and like, there you are, you're like secure right. and everything. But like, you have to learn as you walk with the Lord right. Jesus that you grow in the grace and the knowledge right. of him. And yeah. so there is a pattern of like trust in those.
Right. And that's a learned thing. I said, I had a great privilege in life in the early days of my Christian experience to be exposed to just a whole group of different people from different places who had walked with the Lord for a long time. There was a group of people that were really, they were old in the Lord, if you would, and they had been around for a while. And it was, for a person who is as nervous as I am about life, it was quite an eye-opener to watch them handle life and the problems that came up and the calm with which they could, okay, it'll be okay. And they had a confidence. They knew the Lord in such a way that the things which would have disturbed me, mm-hmm. and did disturb me at the time, no big deal. God will take care of that. God will take, and some of these were big things, but they still, they had learned that. They had walked with the Lord long enough to prove that, lo and behold, he is actually faithful. Mm-hmm. And he had been faithful enough times that they could stabilize young brothers like myself yeah. who, okay, we just didn't know him. We didn't know the Lord. We hadn't proved that who he was. So, but the means to that so often is the thing we don't want to have. It's that circumstance. When I used to teach Old Testament, the Lord didn't give the Israelites coming out of Egypt much time to learn who he was. He took them right to the Red Sea and put them in a place where nobody wants to be. 10 minutes before the sea opens up, if I was there, I would have been horrified.
Yeah.
I mean, we're about to die, mercilessly die. They're behind us, seas in front of us. There's no way out of here. Okay, yeah, the cloud has brought us here, but where has he brought us? They didn't know God. They just didn't know. Yeah. They had talked about him. They obviously had a history about him, which had been passed down that mm-hmm. that was there, but now they're going to find out who he is. But they didn't find out until they were put in that place. Now, that is a shock. Mm-hmm. that's rather an extreme training session, but yeah. We'll plunge right in. But still, it's the same point that it's in the pressure of that circumstance that they then, as he says, then they get to see the power of God. Now, we have a big advantage over them, which he points out in the middle there, that we have the life of Christ in us. Mm-hmm. And that life is a wonderful thing, but it's kind of easy to leave that off on the side if I don't have to. I'm not challenged. Mm. I have to be challenged. It's when I'm challenged, I begin to trust him, and then I find out, oh, yeah, the Lord can see me through this. Yeah. Then you start walking with him. Then you put more on his shoulders in practice.
Yeah, I think one of the thoughts that I had when you were talking about people who had lived out the life of faith, and they've lived out following Jesus over a right. long period of time, and you have younger people, and they have not had that. And Paul talks a lot about like mentoring and for younger people, I think it's a big thing that maybe they look to the people that have and find those people who have proven the Lord and trusted him and have faith in him and have seen him work in their own lives or whatnot and glean from what they know to be true. And then for like older people, I think people who have done that, like look for the younger people in your church who are in need of mentoring and pour into them. And like, there's like a, a need on both sides, a need from younger people. Like we were just talking about how we can be so confident in ourselves, and younger people, I think, can, that can be very true of them. And right. So being willing to be humble and approach that and know that you don't have it all figured out. And then for older people to invest. And I think younger people are shy a lot of the times, and they don't know how to go about that. And yeah. So taking that first step is huge. But yeah, that whole idea of mentoring in the church and the Christian family is huge. And that's so true. You just were talking about that. So yeah. It made me think towards that end that yeah. it's helpful. And because you want to have, like 2 weeks ago, I think we talked about people coming and standing in the gap. Yeah. In praying, and you want to have people who are growing in faith.
Yeah, and that's part of the responsibility of those of us that have walked with the Lord for a long time. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, we're coming to the end of our race, but one of the things we need to be doing is telling people how He has been faithful to us. That is just part of the responsibility to give stability to those that are falling. And so often it comes when you don't have the long-term opportunity with people. I remember that Mr. Carroll taught this all the time. But, you know, when the students, they would hear him, and I know one of the problems of students is this, they hear you, and then they get used to you. Yeah. And you need to be stimulated. And I remember that there was a point in which Raleigh Reasoner, who's same age Mr. Carroll was and had really had a big ministry in Japan, but had suffered in that ministry and had learned a lot of lessons, learned who the Lord was, how important it was to bring him in as another voice. Mm-hmm. Not that he's opposing or contradicting Mr. Carroll. He's just another voice to come in and say, hey, God's faithful. Mm-hmm. But what is he talking about? He's talking about the hard things he went through and how God saw him through that. And there's a huge ministry for people who have walked with the Lord for years to help stabilize other people. Just by saying he's faithful, you can count on him. And I can still remember a lot of the stories that Raleigh Reasoner would tell us about how God had met him along the way. And they strengthen you to say, okay, I can do that too. It's just, you know, every year, the people of Israel were told on the Passover to stop and remember, this is what God did for us. Okay. And it's just part of our responsibility. We go through it. We all have to go through it. It doesn't eliminate the need for the other person to go through it. That's why I use the word stabilize, because everybody's got to go through their tribulation. It's just part of learning who God is, I think. I mean, I think that's what the New Testament teaching. You got these truths, but they're going to be worked out. You're going to prove them when you hit the wall a little bit. But I can say to them, hey, hang in there. He's faithful. You can trust. Let's trust him together.
So I was thinking, like, last week at church, they had, like, in our little, because we go to the same church, and they had announced that lady had passed away. And the pastor had kind of just shared a little bit about her life. I didn't know her. Yeah. But like, she had lost two children when they were young. Her husband had died, I guess, later on, but she had lost all these people in her life. Yeah. But like, he had mentioned how she was a huge, she had a huge ministry to parents who had lost children, because she had walked through it, and she could meet them there, and she had proved the Lord's faithfulness in that tragedy of multiple tragedies that she had faced. I just think of like what a comfort she was to those people who also went through that tragedy in their own life. But like, what a beautiful example of like the family of God coming together and like older people mentoring younger people and just like, and meeting them. And like, she had proved his faithfulness in these really hard moments of her life.
Right.
And her ministry wasn't over just because she was older.
Like, right.
She
poured
into these people. And so there is like, and I think that's the beauty of like the church, is that there's always a role for every person.
Right.
And whether you're like 6 years old or 95 years old, you have a role in the church and there's joy in that. So, anyways, that was kind of not the direction we were thinking of going, but I think it's helpful to just think about that. And even like reflect in your own life, how that could be impacted. Yeah. So, the second point that he said is that the life of Christ by the Spirit might be appropriated. Right. Could you explain a little bit what he means, the life of Christ by the Spirit might be appropriated?
Yes, I was there enough times to hear, you know, say this is when a person becomes a Christian, they're united to Christ. That's my life. That's what Paul says in when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. All right. We've died and our life is hidden with Christ in God. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's in faith there. I have a whole package which is given to this is. This is key to Mr. Carroll's thinking, and I believe the New Testament's thinking. I'm giving a package of salvation, and that package is Jesus Christ. There's nothing more to be given to me. Okay, now I have to work it out. I have to find out what's in him, what is true about that, and work it out in daily living. But it's going to be my source of everything I'm going to need. So that, think about my own life right now. I have to teach. He has to be the source to help me teach. And it's there. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But he does that by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God quickens the Word of God to me to tell me who Jesus is and to enable me to trust the Lord. Okay, but I have to do that in the particulars of day-by-day living, mm-hmm. being what I need to be to students, being what I need to be in my home, being what I need to be. You just have to work that out. So, but the life is there, and what he has mentioned is it's under the times of pressure that we really begin to learn that hey, I have to reach out. I'm going to need strength to do this. Where is it going to come from? Well, the Spirit of God is always taking hold of the Word to show me that Jesus Christ is enough for that, and so that's what he's getting at. The Spirit of God's doing it, but he's taking the Word. He's bringing me to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's calling me to take hold of those blessings. We've mentioned it many times. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Everything's already given. I have everything I need. I just don't know how to use it. Yeah. And it's in those times of pressure I find that, in this situation, the Lord's enough for this too. He's enough for this too. And so that's what he's talking about there. But there's life within. He's not just asking me to be patient. He's saying, hey, the life within you is enough to keep you patient in this circumstance, to satisfy you as you are going through difficult times. You feel the dissatisfaction, so the Spirit of God brings you to Christ, and he satisfies. Yeah. Right? And it's in that. It's under the pressure that you have to do this. And so that's what's happening. He's talking about it's the life of Christ. That's what my life is. But it's made real to me as the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and strengthens me to believe that. I have to see it, and then I have to be strengthened to take hold of it. And that's the process of sanctification that goes on day after day after day.
Yeah, I think that's like so big. Like you can say it, but like to think about like what that actually means, right, and how that actually works out in a life is. It's really important to grasp, because it's the heart of Christianity is that my life is now his life, and they're united.
Right.
And now I'm walking with him. And then the final part of that quote is, and there might be victory by the manifestation of Jesus Christ in the life of an individual.
Okay.
Can you?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, ultimately, Jesus has to be glorified. The victory he's talking about is that finally the Lord has to be glorified in my life. So I'm finding the sufficiency. That was the second part. But as I find that sufficiency, the victory is just that what God's purpose for my life is being fulfilled and what God's purpose through my life is being fulfilled. Okay, so it's both in me and through me, but he's fulfilling that. That's the victory, is that my life begins to have meaning in other people's lives. Mm. Because that's what we're created for, to serve. Yeah. And you don't serve yourself, you serve somebody else. So if all this is coming to pass, it gives me a capacity to influence other people to move from here to here, from self to faith, from from darkness to light in the evangelism thing, but just to grow up.
Yeah.
So that's the victory he's talking about. It's not just that I'm triumphant and can walk around, that I can be patient, but the victory is that through this, the glory of God comes to pass in other people's lives, because when he enables us to live as we ought to live, his goal is fruit in other people. I'm sending you to bear fruit that remains. And that fruit is other people being blessed and strengthened and enabled. But it comes out. But I can say, I can do that for people because I've been through it. Mm-hmm. And it comes out. Yeah.
I think it's to think like the heart of God is for people to know him.
Right.
And then like the victory of the manifestation of Jesus Christ's life in us is that our desires match his desires.
Right.
And then our desire is that people know him.
Right.
And I mean, that's the whole point of like missions, is that
right.
people would worship Jesus Christ.
Right.
The nations would worship him. But it's a reflection of what right. God is ultimately after as well.
Right.
So, yeah, I think it was a helpful quote, and it's a helpful quote in the sense of our circumstances aren't wasted.
No.
And the experiences of our life aren't wasted. And the Lord is, as Christians, we can trust him in it, and yeah. we can walk with him through it. And He is proving his grace to us. His life, the life of Christ, yep. is made real in us, and ultimately he's receiving glory through it. And so to think about our circumstances in that light rather right. than through the lens of lens of like, no, yeah. like this is a moment for God to be glorified, for his grace to be proven. Right. I mean, Paul talks about that all the time.
Amen.
That like his grace is sufficient for me.
Right.
It's proven in my weakness.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think it helps us because we think if God's blessing us in ministry, he's going to give us a wind at our back. You know, it's going to be this is God blessing, and so often it's important to get this, because so often for the great saints it's been headwinds. You're always facing headwinds, and you begin to think that my life is being wasted in all this. Like you said, if I was free from this.
Yeah.
Impediment, I could be doing so much more for the kingdom of God. And the biblical viewpoint is, nah. Yeah. They're there for a reason. How many things did Paul go through?
Yeah.
I mean, how many oppositions did he have to overcome? But he did. He overcame, and a church was built. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't easy. Mm-hmm. I mean, 4 years in prison. I mean, yeah. that's a long time for a powerful man. But it's being out there. So God has a purpose in all that. So one of those big quotes that Mr. Carroll brought before us all the time that is implanted and comes back, it probably was in that same message.
Yeah.
It says this, that submit yourself to the circumstances that God chooses. He purposes a crop. It was a Puritan that said that. He purposes a crop. He has a plan. And it's not wasted. Life is not wasted. God, when you entrust yourself to God, he is not going to throw that life away. That's mm-hmm. precious to him, and he will use it. Mm-hmm. But he might not use it the way you want it to be used, yeah. but it's all for the good.
Mm-hmm. That's such a good reminder, just whether they're small circumstances or big ones that we face, to think that like life mm-hmm. is not wasted, and he always uses it for good.
Right.
And that is not just a theory, that is seen over and over throughout in the scriptures, but also throughout church history,
right.
and it's probably true. In the people that are in your local church and your
right.
Christian family, yeah. there, it's seen in their lives as well. And so
yeah.
just realizing that and building upon that, walking with the Lord, that's ultimately at the center of all of it.
Amen.
So anyways, thank you for listening to today's podcast. As always, you can listen to all of our previous podcasts on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube. And until next week, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and we'll see you again then.